Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bibles, and hope you're ready to receive. How many are ready to receive today? All right. Well, let's take our Bibles, put it over our head, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. Having received the Word of God, I will. All right. So, last week, we talked about putting God first. Everybody say, putting God first. And we're going to be talking, I'm going to use that scripture again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. And so we're learning about the Bible says the paths of God are dripping, are full of abundance. How many know with God there's not any shortage? How many know never in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, when you read the testimony and the life of Jesus Christ, never, everybody say never, what do you see a shortcoming, a deficit? You just don't see a deficit. And let me tell you why you're not going to see a deficit. Because God is not a God of barely enough or just enough. The God that we serve is a God of abundance. And what we're taking time on Wednesday is to show you is that when you start putting God's principles in your life, you can tap into that abundance. Is this making sense to anybody? Why? Because his paths are dripping with abundance. There's no shortage. And so when you tap into that, then you start walking in a flow of provision that God has for you. And that provision includes everything. Hello. So, but what we have to do is we have to tap into that abundance. And the ditches on both sides, the one ditch is that we read things in the Word of God, but we start to not believe them. How many know some of the promises, just the promise of God's taking care of us, can seem too good to be true? So that's on the one side. The other side is a side where we start to understand the abundance of God, but Satan, who comes to manipulate, will manipulate that into greed and selfishness and that kind of stuff. And that's on the other side, and that's wrong too. So, but please understand that the Bible's clear, if you start putting these principles in play in your life, you know what? Your finances are going to get better. Your relationships will get better. Listen, if you'll start to walk in, for instance, the principle of forgiveness, if you'll start to forgive people, let me tell you what, I'm just saying, you do not want to miss Sunday. Thank you. I got an amen in the second row. You do not want to miss Sunday. You want me to tell you what I'm going to preach on Sunday? You want me to tell you what I'm going to preach on Sunday? No, I'm not going to tell you. You got to come Sunday. No, I'm just joking. I'll tell you. You know what? But I'm telling you, you need to be here Sunday. Because what I'm going to teach on Sunday is in life, how many know life can become tough? How many ever had somebody who has done you wrong? Let me ask you again. How many ever had somebody done you wrong? Let me tell you, you need to be here Sunday. You need to be here Sunday. Because how many ever had a lot of people done? I mean, over a period of time, you've had a lot of people done you wrong. Okay. You need to be here Sunday. Because I'm going to show you how detrimental that can be into your life if you don't really. Anyway, you just got to be here Sunday. But I got on that road just to say this. For instance, the principle of walking in forgiveness, it's just a principle of God. It's one of his paths. And if you walk in forgiveness, listen, if you will be consistent in just forgiving people, you know what? Like the Bible says, don't let the sun set on your anger. In real time, quickly and efficiently, just say, man, you know what? I'm telling you what's going to happen. You will be a happy person. No, really, you'll be happy, okay? So that's just one case. God's paths are dripping with abundance. But here's the thing. Here's what you need to recognize. That when you start walking in the blessings of God, something can happen. And I want to show you that in the Word of God. Because I'm believing as you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, I'm gonna start putting this in play in my life. You know what? I've heard so many testimonies already of promotions and job raises and just a lot of cool things that are happening. Well, why? Because the blessings of God, you know what, are filled with the paths of God are filled with abundance. So as you activate those things, you know, we've said it for so many years, good choices, good life. But here's the deal. When you start walking in that good life, you're going to start walking in the blessings of God. And I want to show you in the Word of God many times what can happen to you. And I won't ever go through a series like this that I don't warn you and teach on this. So let's open our Bibles to Haggai. What's that? Haggai who? Haggai biga what a? Yeah, is that a car? That's not a car. Haggai. Oh, this is so easy to remember. Haggai is right after Zephaniah. Okay, so that's easy. Just find Zephaniah. You got it. Okay. Let me make it easier for you. Or it's right before Zechariah. Is that easier? Okay, let me make it. I'm just messing with you. Let me make it easy for you. Go to go to Matthew, and then just turn back a little bit. These are called the minor prophets. But let me tell you what, the minor prophets have some deep things to say and to point out. And so Haggai chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 3. We have it up here on the screens. Of course, I'm reading out of the New King James. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourself to dwell in paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins. Is it time for you yourself to dwell in paneled houses, and this temple lie in ruins? He's asking a question. Is that what time it is? Paneled houses was a way to describe a fancy house. You know what I mean? It wasn't just a solid door. It was doors with panels. How many doors with panels are fancier than just a solid door? You know what I mean? I talk about the blessings of God. True story. We went to Lowe's one day, and we were going to buy some doors. We went looking for these doors, and we bought the most beautiful doors. And here was the thing. Listen, 33% of the original price, which means that's what? 67% off.
yeah, we went to the front, and they said, oh, do you know this monk? We're like, bless the Lord. His pasture dripping with abundance. Amen. Amen. But here's what he's saying. Look what he's saying. Verse 6, or verse 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's say that together. Consider your ways. Again, everybody say it together. Consider your ways. You know what God's saying? Think about what you're doing. Here's what you're doing. You're focused on your house while my house is in ruins. Now look what he says. Verse 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Again, look at verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What's God saying? Here's what he's saying. And maybe you've experienced this, although I don't know that you'll want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's true. But many times what we do is we get so focused on us. Can I tell you what the Bible says? I'll give you the new version, the New Testament version of this. God says, if you lose your life, you're going to find it. But if you find your life, hey, Vegas, what's that music going on? But if you, watch this, but if you give away your life, you're going to find it. So what he's saying is, you're spending all this time and you're going home, but when you go home and you think, let me give you for instance, like you think, oh man, I'm going to work over, I'm going to work extra, I'm going to work on the weekends, you know what I mean? And finally, you get enough money, and you know what, you go out and you get a new car, and I'm not saying that anything's wrong with getting a new car, I'm not saying that, but you get a new car and you're like, oh, and like, you know, the first 3 days you're like, oh, this is awesome, this is awesome, this is awesome, but by the fourth day you're like, oh. Hello? Or maybe not the fourth day, but the fourth month. And unless you buy that car cash, you know what? By the fourth month, you're like, man, I'm stupid. I like my old car. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Okay? Amen. You're doing all this work, and you're deceived. You think that satisfaction is, you know what, when you finally, you know what, get your home the way you want it, when you finally do this, you finally, and it's all a deception. You know what I mean? And so you're focused, and you're like, oh, I'm going to do what? I'm going to get it. And how many know this is true? You know what I mean? So you say, okay, I'm gonna get a new kitchen floor. You get a new kitchen floor, and all of a sudden, as soon as you get a floor, you think, man, these cabinets look bad. I don't know if you know this. It's true. You get a new floor and the cabinets look bad. Then you're like, ugh. Okay, I'll bite the bullet. I'm going to get the cabinets. You get the cabinets, and what happens when you get the cabinets? The countertops is like, ugh. Countertops are like awful. And then you get the new counter. So now you get the new floor. You get the new cabinets. You get the new countertops, and then what? What is that cabinet? What is that countertop look like with the old sink? And then you get the old, and then you put it in the new sink, and what? Come on, what do you need? You got to get a new faucet. You don't put a right, and then you get all that exactly. You guys were going there, and then you go, oh my! And look at this refrigerator. It's awful. Look so stupid. Okay, and listen, and you can keep on going, and you're gonna get all done. And you know what? And listen, and inside your heart, you know what? It ain't gonna make a big difference. Again, I'm not saying anything's wrong with having a nice kitchen. That's not the point. The point is that where you get deceived is, and let me tell you what, we are marketed to. Matter of fact, I haven't done this, but I wanna do a montage of products where they say after the product, this will change your life. You know what I mean? Can I tell you what? New Tupperware will not change your life. Amen. But you know, this lady, she's like, oh, it's so awesome. You know what? My strawberries used to always be all, you know what, unstrawberried. And now this Tupperware makes it so fresh. It just changed my life. Oh, my goodness. You're reading right out of a script. And we take it hook, line, and sinker. Now, let me tell you what was happening. Let me tell you what's happening back here. Israel, who was in bondage, get delivered out of bondage, but then they start complaining. We'll look at that in a minute. And even though God is providing for them, can I tell you what one of the biggest sins ever is? Ungratefulness. I'm just telling you what. And let me tell you this. You show me somebody's grateful, and I'll show you someone who doesn't complain. You show me someone who's grateful, and I'll show you someone who doesn't complain. You show me someone who doesn't complain. You show me somebody who complains, and I'll show you someone at the root who's ungrateful for what they have, for what God's provided for them. And let me tell you what, God takes it personally when we are ungrateful. And let me tell you why. Because all good gifts come from the Father of lights. I know your kids have never been like this. I know your kids have never been like this. You know what I mean? But you know what? But you ever see a kid at a birthday party, and when he opens up a gift, he does. It's not even halfway opened, and he's already swatting away to get the next gift. I know none of your kids are that way, and I know you're never like that. But let me just say this, and I say this to be, listen, I don't say that, listen, I'm not here to insult you. That's not my purpose. Chairman, I love you guys. But let me tell you what, but we need to, what the Bible just taught us, consider your ways. Think about, you know what, am I a complainer? And let me give you a clear, see, how do I say this? Let me give you a clear way that you will never judge yourself accurate. If you are quick to go, he ain't talking about me, okay, that's probably a really good indication that you're walking in pride, and you're exactly the one I'm talking to. The humble person goes, he might, I could probably do some work on my complaining level. Okay. So when the Bible says, look what it says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways! Exclamation point. Man, pay attention to what you're doing. And are we so busy, focused on our stuff, on our deal, whatever our deal is, our house, our car, our children? Listen. I'm supposed to love my kids. Can I tell you what? That's one of the areas that God warns you against all over the place. This loving your family more than loving God. It's a big problem.
And so God says, consider your ways. Of course, love your kids. But don't love anybody before you love me. Put, you know, last week's sermon, put me first. In front of your kids, in front of your grandkids, in front of your spouse, in front of anybody. I want to be first. Consider your ways. Because here's the deal. You can do all that stuff, and you're going to go home, you know what, to your new house, to your new kitchen, to your new car, to, you know what, to, you know, your new floors, whatever it is, and you're just going to go, you know what, this ain't, doesn't, it's, it, you know what, it doesn't live up to the commercial. Right? Okay, so my first point, write this down. A self-centered life is an empty life. A self-centered life is an empty life. A full life is a life that you are giving to others. But a self-centered life is an empty life. Your money bag's full of holes. Doesn't satisfy. You can't get enough to eat. You know what? You got all these clothes on, but they're not warm. Hello. Okay. My second point. We will reap whatever we sow. Everybody say whatever we sow. You're going to reap whatever you sow. Look at verse 7 again. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a temple that I might take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Now I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that was in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. You're so busy focused on you, and you're not putting me first. And so I went, that's what I did. And the Bible says God did that. I blew it away. Okay. Now let me teach on that for a minute. Because somebody said, understand who is actually responsible for this happening. The people. If you put God first, he ain't going to blow nothing away. He promises to bless you. But watch this, follow this. Why is God doing this? Well, let me ask you this. Exactly, to teach you. Let me ask you this. If every time you told your child, hey, don't hit the dog, you know what I mean? Your four-year-old child just used to go by your dog and just whack it or kick it, you know what I mean? Like, hey, Johnny, don't do that. And you tell him, don't do it. But every time he does that, you give him his favorite candy. What are you doing, parents? Yeah, you're enabling, you're training them, and you're training them that bad act is going to be a good thing. Amen. You know, read your New Testament. You're going to see some things that seem harsh. You know what? Paul says, there's widows and they're gossips, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to cut them off. I want you to not provide for them. And we look at it and go, ooh, that's bad. No, let me tell you what, that's good. Amen. Paul says this. He says, you know what? If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Amen. How many ever been around someone, you know what? I know they're not in your family. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? But they're, you know what? They're not blind, they're not deaf, they have no disabilities, and they just, you know what, have become lazy because people in the family, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, enabled them
they just provided for them all the time. You know what? And it's fine at some age, but then they start getting older and older and older, and it's like, hey, dude, you know, man up. Hello? It's a real problem. It's called adult adolescence. Okay? And part of the problem is that there's people around them that have enabled this to happen. God says, listen, I'm not going to enable your bad behavior. And we look at it and say, ooh, look how mean God is. No, look how loving God is. Amen. God is love. And when he makes correction by saying, nope, I'm not going to enable you to continue to do wrong. That's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. He does that. He brings correction because of his love. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. So you reap whatever you sow. Go ahead, turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs and flows out of the valley and hills. How many know if you have some land, it's got some brooks and streams and fountains? I mean, how many know that's valuable property, right? A land, verse 8, a land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and land with olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. See, why? Because God's paths are dripping with abundance. Everybody say, without scarcity. In which you will lack what? It's all throughout the Word of God, folks. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. It's got minerals in it, valuable minerals in it. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord. What are you supposed to do when you're full? And you're satisfied, and you're eating, and you look around, and you're sitting down in your lounge chair with the brook. You're not supposed to forsake God. You're supposed to thank Him. Understand, all good gifts come from Him. But when all that happens, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Listen, whose land is it? It's God's land. He owns the land. And so when you are partaking of that, you ought to thank God. I'm gonna show it to you. And we, you know what? Because I told you, we sit on the porch now. We got a nice little swing out there. We sit on the porch. We got a fountain. Okay, we don't have no rivers or nothing. But you know what? I put a fountain out there. But you know what? God blesses us. God brought these hummingbirds, and these hummingbirds come, and I got this fountain, and they just. Hang out all the time. I'm going to show you a picture. It's beautiful. And I'm going to sit there with my wife and go, wow, look at all the smart investments I've made to provide for you, honey. I'll say, thank God. God has provided for Tamara and I. And we give praise to God for His blessings. But watch this, look at verse 11. Beware that you do not forget. When that happens, here's what you need to be. See, listen, if you start putting these principles in play, I'm telling you, you will be blessed. I'm not talking about you tried it for 4 days or 4 months. I'm talking about if you make a decision that you are going to Seek first the kingdom of God, you know what, which includes, you know what, making sure you come to church. I'm going to love you guys for a minute. I'm just telling the truth. Somebody want to hear the truth tonight? You know what? This you talk about false doctrine, okay? And this, I want you all to hear this. People who think they get saved and they come to the Lord and, oh, God loves me and I love God and blah, 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 blah. But then you think you ain't gonna come to you know how many people call themselves Christians and don't come to church on Sunday or Wednesday? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say, you know, one of the most fundamental things to do is not forsake the gathering of the brethren. I mean, you can't get more simple than that. I'm just preaching to somebody today. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Or they'll stop me. You know what? I don't like the church. I'm going to go to this church. This is the church I want to go to. And let me tell you what. And let me just tell you. You know why people leave churches? You know why people leave churches? You know one of the main reasons why people leave churches? Because in churches, there are people. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How many know, you know what? How many know this is deep? How many know there's people in church? Let me tell you the truth. You know what? If you're called here, then I'm sorry. You know what? If somebody sits in your seat. Yeah, I sit over here. I said third row, second, and I came and they were somebody there. Hey, well, you know what? Like when one pastor did. One pastor, he started looking like this. He's like, I don't see your name on that nowhere. Hey, how many know there, you know what? I mean, if we counted the people in that are here tonight, however many people are here tonight, that's how many reasons you have to leave this church. Because any of us can offend you. Let me tell you what, this thought, I'm going to show up when I want to show up, I'm going to go where I want to go, here's what the Bible says. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Let me give you a Bible on this. Run the race that is set before you. He's the one who says, here, you know what, plant you in a house. And can I tell you the problem with the next church you're going to go to? There's going to be a bunch of people there too. Amen. But now you got double problems because now you got people and now you're out of the will of God. Amen. 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 This is a good tape whether you like it or not. Amen. 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 And what you need to do is understand, but if you put these principles in play in your life, you're going to walk in the blessings of God. And when you walk in the blessings of God, you know what? Then there's this tendency. It's my third point. We all have this tendency to be self-reliant, particularly when good times come. My sermon title tonight is Don't Turn Away. And we've been talking about the blessings. But I need to warn you, when you are filled and you sit down and God has blessed you, and you're like, don't turn away from his principles. Look at this. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, by not keeping his commandments. His commandments are the commandments that got you walking in the blessings. Don't stop doing the commandments. Don't stop forgiving. Don't stop, you know what, being obedient to what God has asked you to do. What's that? Yeah, well, you can't see it, but I'll tell you what it is. Well, you can see it. Yeah, go. You can't see it. No, you can see it again. Okay. See the problem? People. Amen. Right? Okay, of course you can see it. I'm sorry. Okay, number three, we will, what was the third point? Third point. We all have a tendency to be self-reliant. I don't need nobody. You know what? I got here obeying the commandments of God, but now that I'm blessed, now I'm going to do my own thing. Self-reliance. Particularly when times are good. That's what he's saying. That's beware. When you're blessed of God. Now watch this. Verse 12 again. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command unto you this day. Least when you have eaten and are filled and have built beautiful homes and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks, pay attention what God wants to do, multiply. And your silver and gold are what? Multiplied. And all that you have is what? Oh, no. Pastor, the Bible says that God doesn't want to bless you. Oh, my goodness. Read. Multiply. He wants this multiplied and that multiplied. And then to make sure you got it, he says, I want everything multiplied. Amen. That's an awesome verse. And when your heart is lifted up and you, what happens then? And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness into which the fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water out for you of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, and he might humble you, watch this, and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute, because here's what happens. How many ever have had some challenges in life?
Oh, there it is. Come on, challenge.
Okay, so watch this. So here's what happens. You get blessed, and you're like, man, I ain't going to do what God told me. That's how you got in the blessings of God. But now you're going to go, no, I'm going to do it my way because I got everything I want now. The other side, watch this. Maybe you're in a testing time. Now pay attention to this. Even in the testing time, notice, is God taking care of them? Do they have water? Do they have food? Ungratefulness, a key to, you know what, a prideful spirit. And you're not going to walk in the blessings of God. And then that's what the Israelites, they were being taken care of. And by the way, they had all the gold of Egypt in their pockets all the gold and silver. Oh, and all the fine clothing that they wanted. That's what they have, and yet they're complaining. Remember I talked about that? It's so hot. You know what I mean? Ooh, the air conditioning makes it so cold in here. Why is it always so cold in here? Oh, my goodness. Right? And God's like, let me tell you God's attitude. God's attitude is like, these people are gross. This hurts my feelings. You ever buy somebody a meal? Imagine this. You buy somebody a good meal, and they're like, these potatoes are too potato-y. You know what I mean? I'm like this, ooh. Why did you bring me cream corn? I hate cream corn. You know what I mean? Ooh, broccoli, yuck. You know what I mean? Why is this steak? You know, you bought them a steak, and then in your order, sitting there complaining, it's too rare. Oh, it's too well done. I mean, oh, this service so bad. I'm so thirsty. Why don't they give me some more iced tea? You know what? And you're like, gross. That's what's happening. God is providing them. And I'm not saying the situations are perfect, because they're not. God says, it's a test. Here's what you ought to say. You ought to say, I might not be in a perfect situation, but here's what I know. At the end of the day, God's going to take care of me. Amen. Amen. See, that's what it's a test. And it's a test that you would, you know what, not complain, and that you would recognize. Look, notice, God's still taking care of you. Thank God for what he's doing, and understand that ultimately, you know what, you're going to be fine. Amen. 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 If I'm preaching good, somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, that's what our attitude needs to be. Listen, attitude is everything. And he's pointing out, you know, let me tell you what, there's two sides of this. One side is, and one side is saying, forget God. You know what? I made it happen. You know what? When I got all this, and you're gonna forsake. And the other side is a whining baby side. Even in the midst of God blessing you. Can I tell you what? Can you see the blessings of God? Even in a lifestyle, even in a place that's not always perfect, or have you become? Oh, you don't want to miss Sunday, amen. Or have you become embittered? You know what? And figured out? You know what? How to figure out the negative in everything? Because that's what the Israelites did, and God just goes, "This is gross." And let me tell you what it'll do. It'll turn you away from God, which is my question. You know what? Are you going to turn away from God?
No.
You know what? Because let me tell you what. God, ultimately, if you follow his ways, I'm telling you what. They're dripping with abundance. God wants to bless every single person in this room. And let me tell you what. God will bless you if you just follow his ways. Amen. If you just are obedient to God.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. But when that happens, or in the midst of it happening, and you're not driving what you want, you're not living where you want. You know what? Your marriage isn't what you want it to be. Your relationship with your kids aren't what you want it to be. It's just there. It's not. You know what? You feel like you're in the desert. But here's what I want to know: can you still notice that you still have something to drink? Are you able to still notice that, you know what, God is still providing you food?
Oh, there it
is.
Come on.
Did you forget? You know what? Are you too busy? Watch this. Are you too busy complaining to reach down in your pocket and pull out some gold and silver? You know what I mean? Your pockets are full of gold and silver from Egypt, and you're still complaining? Really? Really? God says, this is huge. It's problematic. It's a big problem. Amen?
Amen.
So what is God's will? Well, let's read it. Watch this. Verse 16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, so God's taking care of him, which your fathers did not know, and he did, that he might humble you, that you might... that he might test you to do good, to do you good in the end. I love David, because David's like, hey, you know, I got all this stuff. I got my enemies are running all over. What am I going to do? And then it always go, oh, but God's going to take care of me. See, he had a heart for God, and he recognized ultimately it might be a little troubling right now, but ultimately I just need to keep on being faithful, and God's going to take care of me. But watch this, verse 17. Then when you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have made me this wealth. You know, oh, but let me tell you why I'm all that. I'm all that because, you know what? Because, oh, you know why you're all that in a bag of chips? Because the blessing's coming down from above. Blessings of God coming down from above. He's giving his children his grace and his love. That's where it comes. Down from above. Amen. Verse 8, that you shall remember. Here's the culmination. Okay, here's God's will. My second to last point. What's God's will? Here it is. That you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, and he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. That's the will of God, that he'd bless you in order that you would bless others, to establish the covenant on this earth. Let me tell you, I love you guys. I love every single, you guys are awesome. I love you, but let me tell you what. God provides. I like what I heard one pastor say, you know what, and this wasn't original to me, but I love what he said. He said, every time you get a paycheck, you have a test from God. Amen. Let me tell you what. You know what? It is so fundamental that you bring the tithe into the storehouse. That is holy. I don't care. You say, oh, but pastor, I don't have to because I'm on a fixed income. I like what I heard one pastor say. He said, you know what? Some people are like, oh, pastor, I don't have to tithe because I'm too poor to tithe. You're too poor to tithe? That's weird. That's so weird. I remember a place in the Bible that this lady was so poor, she only had one, listen to me somebody, somebody's going to learn something here, that she only had one, she said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat this cake, and let me tell you how poor I am. I'm so poor, I'm going to eat this cake, and then I'm going to die with my son. This is it. We're starving. There's this drought. We're starving to death. Can I tell you what? I don't care where you are economically. One of the dumbest things, I did say dumb. Let me Grey Poupon it a little bit, okay? What are the most unwise things that you will do? Is to not recognize that 10% of your income is holy, has been separated unto God. Listen, I ain't playing games. When I lift that money up, I'm praying to God. I'm thanking God that there's some people who are seeing it for what it is. I thank God for people in America who are established. This is the point. He wants to establish his covenant. His will is that none perish. That's what he wants. My last point. What does God want? God wants us always to trust in him. I don't know where you're at. I have no idea where you're at economically. Some of you have economic challenges. Some of you have social challenges. Some of you have relational challenges. Some of you feel like, man, I'm in the desert. Well, just can you recognize even in the desert, God is still taking care of you? Can you recognize that? See, ultimately, we all have to trust God. And some of you feel like you're in the desert and God is saying to you, hey, pay attention. You're whining in your Cheerios a little too much. What you need to do is recognize, I got a great plan. Stop thinking that I don't want to bless you. And then there's a bunch of other people who you're just walking in the blessings of God. You know how many people are blessed of the Lord and you start to not see them? They're here on Sunday, they're here on Wednesday, they're serving, they're here on Sunday, they're here on Wednesday, they're serving, but all of a sudden they get a promotion in their job. And you don't see them on Wednesday anymore. And then they can't serve anymore. And then you see them every other Sunday. What's happening? What God says, beware. Listen to me. Your life is this long. No, it's it's so short. And we just think because let me tell you why. Let me tell you why we think this. Okay. Because ultimately we have accepted a lie. And here's the lie. That having stuff will make us happy.
do I need to turn back to? It won't. But if you accept that lie, then you get a promotion. And what you should be telling the one who's promoting you is, hey, that's great. I love, first of all, don't do anything that you don't ask of the Lord. People make all kinds of decisions based on, lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all his ways. You know what I mean? Ask God. I mean, everything, ask God. You know, somebody's, oh, I think you should do this. Oh, that seems like a good idea. You know, oh, that's, you know, you don't, hey. Ask God, he knows. But ultimately, you know what? You've got to settle in your mind that God is the one who's going to bring blessings to your life. Ultimately, you've got to trust God. But you know how many people, they when they're blessed, they walk away from God? They're saying, oh, bless God, you know what? I got a raise. I'm going to make $200 more a week. Okay, well, wait a minute. You're going to make $200 a week, and what you should have done is told your employer who's giving you this promotion, because how many know most promotions don't just come with $200? You know what? You know, they don't just give you a bonus. They give you a bonus, and they give you like 38 more things to do. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. And I'm not saying that you're not called to be a blessing and do many wonderful things, but sometimes we get so focused on ourselves, and God says, hey, what about what I'm doing? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what you need to do is stand up and say, listen, that's fine. If God gives you the okay with the promotion, but before you get promoted, you're going to say, but I'm telling you what, on Wednesday, I'm leaving at 5. You know, capiche? You know what? You need to tell them, are we together? See, when you're blessed of God, don't walk away from me. Ooh, I got a promotion, you know what I mean? And then, you know what? I'm moving to Tennessee, you know what I mean? I'm going to make, you know what, $400 more a month. And you know what? And houses are cheap in Tennessee. Yeah, duh. You ever been in Tennessee in the summer? But that's not the point. The point is, you know what? You need to acquire of the Lord. God is who's going to bless you. But we have taken the wrong bill of goods to think that, you know what? It's you know what? That there's certain, you know what? When I make this amount, when I drive this car, you know what? Let me tell you what. You got all these fine clothes, but you're cold. You got all this food, but it's not satisfying you. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on building my temple. I want you to, let me give you the New Testament version. I want you to focus on building my covenant on this earth. Amen. Many of you gave above the tithe that we would be in this building. That this building would be completely renovated. What is that about? Let me tell you what that's about. That's about establishing the covenant on this earth. Let me tell you what. Those gifts, understand this. For as long as this is a church, this will be the main sanctuary. Oh, I don't mean that, because I believe that God might do some bigger things. Let me take away the might. I know God's going to do bigger things. But that's a side note. What I'm just saying is, what you guys did, what we did together, is huge. Huge. I had some friends who came, visited our church Sunday, and they just, after we were done, they were like, oh, Pastor Drew, this is just amazing. It's amazing. It is amazing. What is this about? This was about satisfying. Listen to me, you'll catch this. You. Because there's something that happens
when you start to care about God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, and all of a sudden you're like, man, all these blessings start coming to you. Why? Because you have things in order. All right. Did you learn something?